Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Well, I know you guys have been hankering for Illinois basketball commitments, and this is a two-commitment week now here that we are having on the Illini Inquirer podcast. Welcome in to the Illini Inquirer podcast. I'm Jeremy Warner, Illini Inquirer publisher, and on today's podcast, let's focus on that second commitment of the week, following up on Omar Payne, the transfer big man from Florida. Illinois doesn't add to the class of 2021 or the 2021 roster, we think, yet, but they do add to the class of 2022 with another commitment, their second in the class, following Reggie Bass, the swingman, the guard, combo guard out of Tennessee. Illinois also adds a commitment today on April 7th from A.J. Storr, an Illinois native who just went out to Arizona this year and had a big year, really raised his profile, playing alongside Ty Washington, a name most Illini fans are very, very familiar with. So on today's podcast, we get into that. What does AJ Storr bring to the Illini? What does he have in store for the Illini? I think everybody's doing that one today. So we talk all about that today on the podcast. Derek Piper will join us, Illini Inquirer basketball lead reporter. But coming up next, Scott Burgess of Illinois Prep Hoops. He's been watching AJ Storr for a long time. We get his breakdown of what AJ adds, and we look ahead to the future classes in state. That's next on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Let's get to know more about the newest Illini commit in the class of 2022. He joins Reggie Bass as the second commit in the Illini's class there. And that's AJ Storr, who played at Kankakee. He's an Illinois native, but he went out west to really rise his stock, and he certainly did that. And now he's going to be playing in the Big Ten after committing to Illinois. And joining us now is Scott Burgess, Prep Hoops Illinois. Knows these guys as well as anybody. Thanks for joining us, Scott. So when was the first time you saw AJ Storr, and when did he first get on your radar?
Yeah, so we actually saw him, you know, during his high school career at Kankakee, and he was always a good prospect, but he was not on the Division I radar at all until last summer. So obviously we had the whole pandemic, so there was no spring travel team season. And as I said then, you know, a lot of players kind of took that period off and didn't really work on their game. And AJ totally, you know, did what he's supposed to do, got in the gym, continued to get stronger, and continue to work on his skill set, especially his perimeter game. That really took his game to the next level. And when we saw him in July and August on the prep hoop circuit with Illinois Hoop Stars, he just exploded. He wasn't even on their supposed top team. He was on another team where he was the focal player. And I remember that first tournament we saw him, he just took off, and it was like a whole different player. I mean, you know, you see guys make those big jumps in that period of time, but with the pandemic, it was a very weird time. And he won the 17U player of the year for the whole circuit last year on the prep hoop circuit because of how well he played, how much he elevated his game. So that's kind of a little bit of background on how he rose to starting to get the attention that he got eventually.
So I feel like this class of 2022, Scott, like the rankings feel so, you know, messed up, like preliminary, just because we haven't been able to see them as much on some of these circuits and judge them. He's a three-star prospect now, but 6'5". What is his skill set? What does he bring to the court?
Yeah, great frame, great body, physical wing that can play really in the Illini system. He's probably more of a three or even a small ball four in certain situations, kind of in that Damonte Williams role a little bit. But he can really shoot the basketball. I think that's where he took his game to the next level. He was always a good slasher and a good transition player. But when he was able to consistently knock down shots, that's what really elevated his stock and made him a legit high major player with his combination of physicality, athleticism, and, you know, being able to get to the rim, but then also being able to keep the defense honest and shooting on the perimeter. And I think he's going to be able to develop into a pretty nice defender down the road, especially against wings.
Yeah, so if Illinois fans had to have a comp in their heads, what would you kind of compare that to?
I'm horrible with comps, to be honest.
And we lock you into them all the time, Scott.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think, you know, you're looking at maybe a bigger, like a Damonte type, yeah, where I think he's got more scoring potential. But Damonte really developed that jump shot throughout his career. And as you know, he didn't really have that out of high school or even his first couple of years at Illinois. I think AJ already kind of has that ability to knock down shots.
I think he had a couple more other high major offers. Ole Miss was in on him as well. But what do you think of Illinois and really targeting him early, being the first high major offer, and then really closing this pretty early?
Yeah, I think, you know, they were very aggressive with this recruitment. Virginia Tech was involved as well, but they went after him. Same thing with Reggie Bass. They kind of identified both those guys early in the process and said, these are guys that we want to get. And, you know, we don't care who the offer list is. You know, I talk to college coaches all the time, and a lot of schools are scared to be that first offer, maybe that first high major offer. And as I say all the time, like, trust yourself. And I think that's one thing that this staff at Illinois does really well, is they trust themselves as far as who they want to recruit. I think a perfect example is Georgie. Georgie didn't have anything, you know, at the high major level out of high school, and he turned out to be a pretty good get for them. So I think they trusted themselves with the evaluation and what they saw. And I think if you look at him, and he was, you know, magically back in Illinois and magically at 2022 in Illinois, he'd probably be the, you know, third, fourth player in the class behind AJ Casey and Jaden Shutt. So, I mean, I think most Illinois fans would take that.
Yeah, it feels like you put that in there, people be like a little bit more excited. Hey, land Illinois kid. He is an Illinois kid. Just ends up playing in Arizona and plays with Ty Washington, who I know they are all over. So that can't hurt, Scott, I wouldn't imagine.
No, yeah, absolutely. Obviously, Illinois was in the mix the first time when he committed to Creighton, and they're, you know, trying to still get in there. He's got a lot of offers. He's one of the hottest names in the country, period, especially with how well he played this season for AZ Compass. You know, it was a weird high school season just in general. Some states not playing, some playing half seasons, but teams like AZ Compass Prep were able to play full seasons against top-notch competition, including, you know, they were just in the on ESPN and the Geico Nationals a couple weeks ago or last week. So yeah, I mean, to get the experience that you know, AJ did playing in that, and Ty, that's, you know, kind of like a mini March Madness type feel, and you're playing against other big time high major competition.
You mentioned the class of 2022, Scott, and while we have you, AJ Casey seemed to have a good weekend up in Wisconsin. He's really obviously one of their top targets in 2022, and Jaden Shutt has become very popular. What do you think of those guys' development that we've seen or been able to see, and their recruitments moving forward?
Yeah, so with AJ, you know, athletic, lanky wing, can, you know, guard multiple positions. I think his offensive skill set is just scratching the surface of where he can be long term, but he fits that new age mold as far as the whole skilled, multi-purpose big man that can play a small ball five, can be a four, can stretch the floor, runs the court really well. His athleticism on the defensive end, being able to switch, block shots, that's something that really is intriguing for him. As far as his recruitment, I still think it's pretty open. It's so hard right now to, like, you know, pinpoint favorites, because for the most part, these kids haven't narrowed lists. We're not really seeing the normal process as far as, you know, cutting down to 10 and then 5 and take visits. Like, none of that's going on. And as of right now, you know, there's no for certain timetable for that to even happen as far as visits go. I think Illinois is in the mix, definitely. I think Michigan State's in there. I think Gonzaga is definitely one to watch. Gonzaga, obviously, they had a tremendous season this year. Roger Powell, the former Illini coach, is there. They've had great success with, you know, their forwards, Drew Timmy. Sorry to break Illinois fans' heart there. But Drew Timmy did really well there. They're probably the leader for Chet Holmgren. So they're really building something insanely good out there. So I think those are some of the ones to watch. Louisville as well. And then as far as Jaden Shutt, elite shooter, moves really, really well without the ball. I think he's that type of guy that you can use off movement, kind of move him around like a Kyle Korver type and just get him open shots, coming on pin downs and screens and that kind of stuff. But this year he showed a lot more, and really even in the fall in workouts that we saw, he showed a lot more to his game than just being an elite shooter. He's a much better athlete than he's given credit for. He can score off the bounce. He's a pretty good rebounder. He's never going to be an elite passer, but he's got a good enough feel as a passer to you know, get a couple assists a game at the high major level. His recruitment's still pretty open as well. I think actually while we're talking here, he just got another offer, I believe. So he's racking them up, but yeah, he's definitely, you know, got a Minnesota offer from the new staff. So, you know, he is one of the best players in that class and somebody Illinois is really targeting.
And I'm starting to hear the buzz about this 2023 class, Scott, in state. JJ Taylor looks like a guy that might consider not even going to college if he doesn't have to. Day-Day Ames is a name that I've heard here recently. What is coming up in these underclassmen classes in Illinois?
Yep. So with the, you know, that 2023 class, Javonte Taylor, you mentioned him at the top, from Kenwood, part of the whole Mac Irvin Fire family, with Mike Irvin being the coach there. Younger brother of Steve Taylor, who a lot of fans will remember was on those famed Simeon teams and played at Marquette. Mm-hmm. So not the similar type player at all. Javonte's much more offensively skilled as far as being able to take it out on the perimeter. Just such a feathery jump shot from deep. Sometimes he'll force it a little bit, but he can really, really score from all three levels. You know, long, lanky build. He's just electric. You know, he went in the public league this year and, you know, every night, 30 points, 25 points, close to 40 points. Like his scoring, I don't know what his scoring average ended up being, but it had to be well over 25 points a game. And his point guard, you mentioned Darren Ames, lefty guard, kind of in that, you know, Charlie Moore, you know, exciting playmaking guard, angular, that can really facilitate the basketball when he needs to, but he's a good scorer too, likes the pull up jump shot, got slick handles. He's really fun to watch. Donovan Younger is another player Illinois is looking at, in that class, from Bolingbrook, athletic four man, still pretty raw at this stage in the process, but the upside is very intriguing. Yeah, Dalen Davis from Whitney Young's another highly touted point guard in that class. Two powerful, or you know, two other players to look at. Max Christie's little brother Cam Christie is in that class. Obviously, Max is going to Michigan State. Cam's already got multiple high major offers. He had a really, really productive year and took that next step in his game. And then Asa Thomas is another one from Lake Forest Academy or Lake Forest High School, and he's got plus size, 6'5" shooter. I like his ability. And then kind of rounded off with Davis Lowry, who's from Kenwood as well, along with Javonte and Day Day. And he's got an Illinois offer, big physical combo forward, probably more of a four, just a strong body, can rebound the ball at a high rate. Loves to get out and run, and his perimeter game's coming along as well.
Great insight there, Scott. Before I let you go, though, I just want to ask you, as somebody who, you know, pays close attention to Illinois basketball and watches this thing, what was this year like to watch for you as Io DeSumo and Adam Miller, both who are no longer part of the team, are part of this, two in-state guys. But obviously Brad Underwood gets this program back to national relevance. Didn't end well in the NCAA tournament with Loyola, you know, upsetting them. But what were your big takeaways from this year and what it means for Illinois basketball?
Yeah, I think it means a lot. Obviously it didn't end how they wanted to, but, you know, to put the program back on a national stage that they've not seen anywhere close to since 2005, and maybe that year after with D and Augustine coming back, you know, I think it was huge for the program, and I think you'll start seeing that paying off in recruiting, not necessarily in the 21 class, but you're talking about 22 now, you're gaining commitments, 23 and going forward. And I think the biggest thing is you have to make Illinois cool again in state, and you did it. You took, you know, Io and you took Adam Miller, two of the best players the last 5 years in Illinois, and you said, hey, look what we can do with these guys. We can take two homegrown talents and we can, you know, win a Big Ten tournament championship. We can be a top five team for most of the season. This is where we want to be with the program. So I think it gives you a lot more ammo when you go into the house of an AJ Casey or a Javonte Taylor. And instead of having to hear for, and I mean, as you know, covering Illinois for years, it's like selling the 2005 team doesn't do anything for kids who were like not even watching basketball at that age, or some of them not even born yet. I mean, that's been what, 16 years? Yep. Javonte Taylor might not even have been born when that Final Four happened. So it's like, you can't sell that to kids, but now you have this team that you can sell, even though obviously it didn't end in the same fashion, making a Final Four run and an appearance in the championship. You can still say, you know, look what we did with the in-state talent. Come here, continue the legacy. Io started the legacy for Illinois, this new, you know, era under Underwood, and you can continue it. So I think it was huge for the program, and from an in-state recruiting standpoint.
Scott Burgess, Prep Hoops Illinois. Check him out at Scotty B Scout on Twitter. Scott, always appreciate the time and insight, my man.
Thanks, bud.
All right, great stuff with Scott. When we come back, let's get the Illini more centric angle on this with Derek Piper, Illini Inquirer. We'll talk about what Storr brings to the Illini, but also what else is on the horizon for Illini basketball recruiting. That's next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast, and let's break down the latest commitment for Illinois basketball. They have a transfer commitment a couple days ago. Now they get a high school commitment, though not one that's going to play in the team next year, most likely, unless there's a surprise reclass here, but one in the class of 2022, and that is A.J. Storr, who is an Illinois native, played down at Kankakee. I've seen some people say he's a Rockford native, but has played out in Arizona with one Ty Washington for the last year, and has really elevated his game. So let's talk about how it impacts Illinois here with Derek Piper, IlliniInquirer.com, our lead basketball reporter. And Derek, people have wanted commitment news. Well, they got it in A.J. Storr. What do you think?
Yeah, this is what they're looking for, right? I'm sure they'll be satisfied for all of 5 minutes, and we'll get back to talking about Armon Franklin and Ty Washington and the like. But this is a nice ad for Illinois. It's a 6'5" in-state product who's a big-bodied guard. He's physical, shoots the three very well, has a really nice stroke, ability to get to the rim. I know he wants to tighten up on his handle some, but when he gets there, he can finish their contact, usually their hand. And as you mentioned, originally from Rockford, played high school in Kankakee, then this past summer went out to Vegas and transferred to Bishop Gorman, was there for a couple of months, and then ended up at Arizona Compass Prep with Ty Washington. That's one of the best high school teams this past year in the country, and they were at Geico Nationals, and he played pretty darn well there. So I know for the Illinois staff, he has a couple of high major offers at Ole Miss. He had Vautech. Illinois has been really active with him. They offered back in November. Jen Coleman's been the lead recruiter. They felt like not only the trusting their evaluation and wanting to add him, but to get him early before what they think is he's probably going to blow up this summer. They really emphasized trying to get him on board, and they were able to do that today.
Yeah, what do they like? So, I mean, you broke down his game, Derek, but why did they think this is a guy that's got to be a priority right now?
Yeah, I think his physicality and his ability to shoot. So we talk a lot about having length, having shot-making ability, but it goes back to something that Brad has said before, is just having different pieces. You know that Melendez and Goody are longer wings, but maybe not as filled out. I mean, in particular with Melendez, he's more of a pogo stick. He can go up and finish, but needs to add strength. With Storr, you're not going to worry about him having that physicality and him being able to fit in the Big Ten in that style of play. So I think that when you look at that, when you look at the fact that just his toughness and kind of just his makeup, there's some intangibles there that they really like. But again, it comes back to the fact that he can shoot, the fact that he can get inside and finish and kind of be that physical force that they're looking for.
You know, Luke Goody was the only commitment in the class of 2021 for so long. Reggie Bass didn't have to wait too long to get a partner in this class. How do they complement each other? Reggie feels like, Derek, a guy that has the ball in his hands a little bit more. So how do they complement each other?
Yeah, both being 6'5", do have some different skill sets. Like you said, Reggie can play combo guard. He can have the ball in his hands and play make. He's a very good passer. Capable shooter from the outside, but can break you down. Good crossover, can get to the lane and make some plays. And then you have Storr, like I said, is more that bully ball type of ability who can also catch and shoot really, really well. So if it's Curbelo, you're kind of forecasting in the future. I think Bass and Curbelo could play together because of Bass's length as far as a big guard, about 6'4". Regardless of either one of those guys breaking it down, Storr is a guy that can catch and shoot. He's a guy that's probably going to go to the offensive glass and have some success. And they can defend multiple positions, given the fact that they have that length. And that is something that you like to see as far as pairing with Andre Curbelo at the one.
This does feel like a very big wing makeover, Derek. I mean, we're looking at a team right now that had, at one point, the starting lineup this season, right, was four guys who were 6'4" and under. If you want, I guess Io could be 6'5" if you want to list them there. But basically, Io's a point guard, right? Bob Cousy Award winner. And your four is 6'3" and Damonte Williams. I know he's longer than that, but he's 6'3". Adam Miller is 6'3". You're looking at Andre Curbelo potentially as an upperclassman with guys like Luke Goody, who's 6'7". Maybe Austin Hutcherson is still here. I don't know. It's 6'6". And obviously Reggie Bass is 6'5". AJ Storr right now at 6'5". And these guys are pretty young. And of course, RJ Melendez, who's 6'7". This feels like a big change, and obviously one that they want to change.
Yeah, for sure. I think the days probably are over of playing two small guards, as Brad would say, when you think about Trent and Felice played together with Io, and then you also had Trent and Curbelo with of course, Trent, if he were to come back, which I mean, I'm not sure that's going to happen, that could throw that in there. But, yeah, I think that just all around the court, you look at some of these other NCAA tournament teams that succeeded and just the length they have kind of across the board, and even at Gonzaga, when you look at Suggs, then Kispert, then I mean, just – 1 through 4 is usually pretty long and pretty interchangeable defensively at times. And I think that's important for a team that with Illinois seemed a little bit more set in their position than out of position, maybe at the 4 spot. So just kind of having that flexibility, that length. And as we saw with Michigan, who was a really long team, that helps you defensively, helps you defend not only at the rim, but also on the perimeter, making it tough to make shots over them.
So Derek, I mean, fans are wanting more in 2021, but what is behind this push in 2022, and what's next now that they have these two pieces? I know rosters are so much in flux, and in a year from now it could look completely different. But what does the rest of 2022 look like for this staff?
Yeah, I think in terms of these two early ads, it's just trusting your evals, taking guys that you feel like, in particular with Storr, that could jump, you know, get a lot of offers here coming forward if you were to be open in the summer, and maybe that's a lot tougher recruitment in the fall than it would be right now if you pushed and tried to get them on board. I think you're not worrying too much at this point as far as taking this guy means we can't get this guy. I think you're just trying to go and take good players, and there's going to come a time where how many wings is too many wings, right? Like, that's going to be a question at some point, although, you know, Bass is not – he's more of a combo guard, and Storr's probably big body 3, maybe a 2. But, yeah, I think that, again, going forward, you will look at a big guy. You'll certainly look, whether that be a center, even a power forward, you know, AJ Casey, Jalen Washington from Indiana. They want other pieces in that mix as well, and might even take another guard. But a lot will probably be determined, or some will be determined, by what they do to finish out this transfer market, this 2021, because based on the transfer market, you can take multi-year guys here and really fill that thing up. But right now, I mean, when you look at the scholarship grid, there's a lot in flux and there's a lot of potential openings. Kind of just figure it out as you go.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me. I need to update that with AJ Store in it now. It's constantly in flux, that scholarship grid we got. Derek, I got to ask for the people out there. He plays with Ty-Ty Washington. Does this help at all with Ty-Ty Washington?
That's a good question. I don't know that to be certain. I know that, like you said, that they played together and they had a lot of success together and they seem to be good friends as far as what they do on the court. Is that going to sway Ty-Ty one way or the other, in particular with Store, who actually was originally in 2021, class back to 2022. He was young for his age in that class in 21, goes back to 22. If he's not going to be in Champaign next year, and Ty-Ty could theoretically, I mean, everybody that's kind of a top 30 to top 40 recruit has somewhere implanted in their mind, I could maybe be a one and done. Yeah. So maybe Ty-Ty would be someone like that who wouldn't think too much about it. So I don't know. I haven't heard anything as far as package deal or anything like that. It's fun to speculate, but I don't think so.
So, Derek, for the first time since the Loyola loss, where we just had 12 minutes of Brad Underwood taking in that loss, we got to catch up with him. And he does feel like a coach that has obviously been in a rough spot the last 2 weeks, just thinking about what happened that game, even though he hasn't watched it yet. I think I believe him when he says that. But also with this transfer portal and Adam Miller leaving the program probably quicker than he did, than they thought he obviously was going to. And then, of course, you got everything with the super seniors up in the air, Kofi Coburn up in the air. But they have acted quickly in adding Omar Payne, who I think is a huge piece we've talked about before on this podcast. But he just felt like a coach that was kind of at this turning point of like, how do I build my roster? How do I keep this thing to where I want to in this age of college basketball, which he is not the only one doing it. I mean, we've heard Roy Williams didn't want to do this anymore, partly because of what was going on. And, you know, we've heard a lot of coaches be like, man, this is not the game that we know. And at least Brad, I think, is sitting there going, okay, how do I have to adapt to continue to be successful? What did you make of what he had to say the other day about all of everything going on in his program the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I understand why that's got to be something that's really tough as far as just the bevy of options that are out there and how do you build it the right way, but also how do you keep it together? How do you make sure the guys on your roster you put in a lot of time and effort to recruit are wanting to come back? And it's that hard balance, which they knew this was coming. I mean, anybody that I've talked to, and I'm sure a lot of people out there feeling like this isn't a huge like surprise as far as how many guys are hitting the portal. They knew that some madness was coming, but then just to have it unfold, is it going to happen to us type deal? And Adam Miller did for Illinois. So that part of it is frustrating. Now, Brad in the past has mentioned like when they added Grandison and added Hutcherson, he talked about the Baylor model worked out for them. Like I love staying old and getting old, staying old and adding veteran pieces and all that. So there's a lot of potential to do that and to take advantage of that. I think anybody wants to be Baylor right now. I mean, why wouldn't you be?
It's a real double-edged sword because you know, Illinois went into this offseason thinking, man, we could just reload. Like we're not going to have a rebuilding year. We'll have Curbelo and Miller and Grandison and maybe Hutcherson and Kofi maybe comes back. And then we add, you know, a piece or two and we're a top 10 team again. That you didn't put into that part of the equation, oh, we could lose Adam Miller, who's a key piece here. So it does cut both ways. There's a benefit of it, especially at the Power 5 level, high major level, but there's also the downside of it.
Absolutely. And you also throw into the mix, Kofi could come back, but in the process of him deciding whether or not he's going to come back, now you did get Omar Payne, but that could play into the mix of trying to get another big man, or you might have thought, I mean, a lot of buzz, to be honest, back in the fall or starting the season was, hey, we think Trent and DeMonte are coming back. Like we would expect to have those guys for another year, not being obviously they're not NBA guys. And some that's changed. Like as down the stretch, we got to wait for their final decisions, but that factors into it. It seemed like Brad didn't, and not that he was going to give us all the insight or all the answers. He maybe said he didn't have as many answers as he actually does, but he didn't seem to know yet on Trent and Demonte, didn't seem to know yet on some other guys within his roster. I got to have the team meetings, the player meetings, I should say. And as for the Loyola, yeah, I kind of believe him that he would not watch that game.
Have you watched it yet?
I have not. I've been curious to.
Yeah, I haven't either. I don't know if I can learn anything. I just thought they just got punked, man. Like they just. I don't know how much you can. I think it's more about the preparation for that game, right? Like what went wrong in our preparation? Because I don't think there's anything you learned. And like we said, I mean, most of that roster's probably not going to be back. So outside of Curbelo, who I thought was decent, who's going to learn anything from it?
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not like you're going to watch it and say, hey, this is how they guarded Iowa. If you see that again, we're going to be able to adjust there. By the way, nice suit and tie for Iowa on the jump. That's a pretty good look for him.
What a great moment, right? I know that's such a big deal for him. But for Illinois to have a guy on that show, Derek, which I think Rachel Nichols, that is such a great production. It's just such a great NBA show, and you could tell all the players respect the heck out of it. But Iowa watches that show every day, and he's on it making that announcement. That's a great moment for Illinois basketball. 2 weeks after they had such a terrible moment, it's almost like that's the pride of what you've been doing the last 3 years, and a huge reason of why you're at least in the discussion to be a player in the national level.
Right. Yeah. Just to be a storyline, and not only on ESPN, but yeah, going to the next level. And that matters so much. We tend to want to, or fans tend to want to turn everything into recruiting. Like this means this for recruiting. I mean, it does though, as far as like showing guys, someone going from our program that we developed, that we convinced to come to Illinois, especially those that are in state, and in-state star comes here. And a couple years later, he's, you know, got a bunch of more muscle, a better jump shot. We, you know, All-American Bob Cousy, and he's sitting on the jump with Rachel Nichols saying he's going to the NBA. Like, who wants to do it next? Like, that's kind of the deal.
And Derek,
a big deal for Illinois.
You know it too, because NFL players think the same thing, or football players. They want to go to the NFL. Every one of them wants to go to the NFL, or all the basketball players, they want to go to the NBA. Some guys might know they're not going to go there, but everyone thinks they're going to go there. And that is the goal. So while you can sell D Brown and Kenny Battle, like Kenny played in the NBA, right? But like those guys to them aren't the guys that matter. Like seeing Io Desumu play in an NBA game with a playoff team and score 15 one night, like that to them matters. Like Michigan has some of these guys that have played in the NBA that they could point to and say, yeah, look what that guy's doing in the NBA right now. Ohio State with D'Angelo Russell and Mike Conley and all those guys over the last decade. Like, they were able to sell that. Like, Illinois hasn't been able to sell that outside of Myers Leonard, and he was on the team where the coach got fired. So it's like, they need that. Like, that is a great example, and he is such a great example on and off the court. Like, Derek, I've never seen somebody more ready professionally for on, off the court, all of it, to be a professional athlete.
I have not either. Everything that he's done, he's prepared for and he's worked for, and he's always envisioned himself in that, on that stage, in that role. And it's really cool to see him now in that moment there. And obviously, I know you talked to, was it Kyle Boone for the NBA, and talks about, I mean, all the talk around him, and you can imagine is just the character and kind of the makeup that he has. Oh, no, by the way, he's pretty darn good on the court as well. So that's definitely a good thing for Illinois and for people to see that. And if I was Orlando Antigua, I would have texted Armand Franklin and say, hey, you watched the jump today? Like, that could be you.
Is that number one on Piper's big board? Like, you know, I know people just want to know, is he coming? Is he coming? But like, if you had the most important right now, what would be, who would Franklin, Washington, the four transfer to be named later? Like, how's your big board shake out?
I got to be careful because I've done some my guys in the past, and the my guys.
Can I tell a story?
They put on different.
Can I tell
on different uniforms?
Can I tell a story though about that? Because I think it's long enough that this doesn't matter. But John Gross gave me a call one day. Right, I just do a radio show, cover the program. He gave me a call one day, and John couldn't have been nicer about it because John's just a good dude. But he said, "Hey, Jeremy, somebody from somebody's camp." Right. And this was when they were recruiting Jalen Brunson and Juwan Evans. said you were asked on the radio show who you'd rather have, Brunson or Evans. And I said, I don't care. I'd take any of them. Illinois can't be choosing. They're both awesome players and both ended up top 40 picks in the NBA. And Jalen Brunson won two titles. I said Jalen Brunson just because I love his game. He didn't make mistakes. He played like a 30-year-old man when he was 17 or 18 years old. But I said then, like, Juwan Evans, I would love Illinois. He's going to be an NBA player. He changed the program. John just said, don't answer that question on air the next time because someone from Juwan Evans' camp was upset about that.
Yeah.
Like, that's – it's amazing. So I don't want to put you on the spot of having to choose, like, hey, Ty or Armon is more important, but I kind of just did.
Well, see, I have heard that story before, and that is a – it lets people know how important or just how much people are tapped into what anybody is saying.
Yeah.
But I kind of just have – you called me out one time. I had the jinx. Like I said, I love EJ. Love him. No, he's not coming here. Bryce Hawkins. Love him. That's my guy. No. Jordan Goodwin. Love him. No. So if I say that this would be my top priority, I'm almost kissing him goodbye.
That's right. But
I want Armon Franklin because he's proven in the Big Ten. He's a two-way player. I think he's a great fit as another shot creator. He can get his own off the bounce. And he shoots the lights out on catch and shoot. Like he was one of the best in the country, top 95 percentile catch and shoot last year.
Yeah. So kiss that goodbye, apparently. No, but I mean, Indiana just took a guard commit. It's a good one, Xavier Johnson. And man, Indiana, give Mike Woodson a lot of credit here. You know, keeping Christian Lander, keeping Geronimo, and obviously Trace Jackson Davis for another year, and now adding Johnson. That's a really competitive roster next year that could make some noise in the Big Ten. So, Derek, did you see that and be like, oh, maybe Illinois got a better chance now?
Yeah, it is something that you got to take into account for sure. And they are bringing some of these pieces back, and you start to wonder how it all fits in. Now, if Armon wanted to come back, and I don't know off the top of my head what the scholarship count is, but I mean, I would think that he'd be someone you'd consider if you're filling out next year's all Big Ten. Could that be a guy that slots in as a third team, second team type of guy? I think that he would be kind of in that mix. So if he wanted to go back to Bloomington, I mean, they would work it out. That guy's going to start and be in that mix for them. I do think just kind of reading some of what their fans are saying is just there's some hesitation or just some angst like, this long waiting process. We've seen Trace go back. We've seen Christian Lander go back. What's Armon thinking or what is he waiting for?
Yeah.
I don't know. We got a little bit of time left.
And to be honest with you, like that's how, when Ty Washington comes open again, and Illinois is a player, right? But when a guy comes open again, then takes his time and he said no to you the first time, I just don't set my expectation for Illinois to land him, but that's just my, you know, 30,000 foot view of it. But that recruitment is dragging out a little bit longer as well, Derek.
Yep, it is. And it probably won't go too much longer. His season just ended last week at Geico Nationals, and kind of there's even some pro buzz out there. I mean, when he's had the kind of season that he's had, I understand why he could go somewhere right away and make money and kind of skip college if he wants to. Now, he did have a tweet the night of the national championship game and say something to the effect of, this is the last time I'll be watching it when I'm not participating in it as far as college basketball. So that's interesting. Kansas just took a guard, the one out of Drake. His name's escaping me now. That's something that's kind of raised some red lights as far as, are they going to be in the mix anymore with Ty? And maybe Jarence was one that was recruiting him. There's a lot going on in college basketball.
Sure, Jarence
on
the move.
Jeez.
Arizona jobs open.
Yeah. But I think from what I had heard, it seems another week or so for Ty, and probably looking around again, we mentioned before, the April 15th, 14th for late signing period will probably be when he makes the decision.
I got this. I feel like I'm mentioning him now in almost every podcast we do, but shout out to him because I know he listens. Brad Werner, my brother, his guy, which I don't think is enough people's guys, is Brandon Podzimski. And I feel like he's not getting talked about enough because he's a really good prospect who fills a big need. Now, he's not going to make an Armand Franklin impact most likely right away, Derek. But I know you caught up with his dad, and people can read that at IlliniInquirer.com. But Illinois is a major player for him. If they were able to land him, what kind of get would that be, and what kind of impact could he make as a freshman?
I think it'd be a pretty darn good get when you think about he has other offers from Kansas and Kentucky, some other impressive high major offers. And it's a guy that I wish I would have gotten to see in person, and really especially on the EYBL circuit. And he was going to play with Phenom U this past spring and summer. And for that to be taken away really maybe benefited a team like Illinois. Not that they couldn't have competed in that kind of a mix, but it changed the way his recruitment unfolded, and he had to go out as a senior and just light it up against maybe not the best competition, which he ultimately did. 35 a game, 43% from three, Mr. Basketball in Wisconsin, most threes made in the state this past year. So I think he could definitely come in as a shot maker. Like, that's something that I think that he could definitely do off the bench as a freshman, and would have a chance, in my opinion. I think that Melendez is going to struggle with the physicality of the Big Ten. And now he has played against some pretty good competition and had a very good senior year. And then Luke Goody, right now, and I've said it before, that Podzimski or Goody to me of the three would probably make the biggest impact right away. I just hesitate a little bit on Podzimski because there's going to be a shock value of having never played against – that level of guy, like to go into the Big Ten and then have that. But I think he'd be a very good ad. And I know that upside wise, as far as just a bucket getter with a lot of swagger, a lot of ability to score from really multiple levels in the court, there's a lot to like about that and to put him in your backcourt.
Yeah, he's not a guy I think you'd feel comfortable putting into your two spot and being like, yep, we're competing for a Big Ten title, right? Like, well, if Armand Franklin and Kofi Coburn come in with you with all these other pieces and you get a four, then yeah, I think you'd feel pretty dang comfortable about that. I do see a lot of these national people, Derek. I mean, there's so much doom and gloom about recruiting and Adam Miller leaving, and hey, I get it. I get you don't want that. What happened 15 years ago to not be able to capitalize. You want to capitalize off the buzz you have created. So I know that sense of dread and sense of we're going to be back to the 10 years before, but I do feel like this staff deserves a little bit more credit than that, given the 2 years they put together, given the rosters they have been able to put together, and just the tentacles they have and finding talent. So, well, the Big Ten is scary, man, and you got to reload, and they do have to make their adjustments here. You still see, like, if Kofi Coburn comes back with Andre Curbelo, you are a player. And I know that's a lot up in the air with Kofi Coburn, but I thought Omar Payne was a really, really good get for them right away just to set the floor of what that can be. And there's still so much time and so much talent out there that you know, maybe we sit here in late June, Derek, and we say, hit the panic button. I personally haven't done that yet, but I understand some of the nervousness right now before some of these guys make their decisions.
Yeah, no doubt. There's still some pretty darn good pieces on this team when you think about Curbelo. When you think about, obviously, if Kofi comes back, your front court, if you have Kofi and then Payne behind him, like, that's a pretty darn good five-man rotation. The four-man, I'm very intrigued to see the way that Hawkins develops this summer. Fully expect him to be able to step up his game with Grandison in the mix. Hutcherson is a big wild card. Now, it's one that you can get pretty excited about if he's healthy, because, I mean, he certainly has the skill set and the look and the length and all that. Can he put it together? Curbelo, again, running the show. And there's a lot of opportunity to add pieces, to add talent out there with the transfer market. And it's early. And it's going to be a long offseason. I think you cautioned the board that the other day. Like, it's going to be a long offseason, especially when you think about, Kofi's not probably going to give your answer until July. Mm-hmm. So that's one to kind of try to be patient on. And then you got to just wait on the portal. Like, there's options now. There's probably going to be options here in the coming weeks that we're not even talking about, that will be probably more after the draft. You have to come back.
I was about to say that, Derek. That's something I don't think enough fans have in their mind. Like, there's a lot of guys that are going to go to the draft, go through the process, just like Kofi, that come back, but might not go back to the school that they were at before.
Yep, absolutely. And those are guys that definitely to kind of wait out, but at the same time, maybe you don't know their names and all that, but it's something to just kind of think about, another window of being able to add some talent. So like you said, the connections this staff has shown that they have, the ability to pull talent from all over the place. And I mean, they took a team that had lost a ton of games in the years prior and pieced it all together. And in 4 years, they were a number one seed. So what can they do next? We'll see.
Derek, it's been 2 hours since somebody committed to Illinois. Would you give us a recruiting update already, man?
I got to check my phone. I don't think anything's come in, but I will let you know. That's always been the policy here. When we have an update, we tend to share that update. So
that's what we do. Yeah. And we don't have an update usually 10 seconds within news breaking of something or some little development. Usually it takes time to gather the news or updates, just to take you behind the scenes here. Derek, we appreciate you. Most people appreciate you out there, and we appreciate you dropping your knowledge here, man. Appreciate it.
Yep. Always fun, man. See you.
Great stuff as always with Derek Piper. And if you want those updates, you can check them out at IlliniInquirer.com. And if you are a VIP member and you don't want to wade through the discussion of Illini fans, which is always interesting for some people enjoy it. Some people say they hate it. Some people hate enjoy it. There is a thing on our message board, if you're a VIP user, where you can follow users. And all of a sudden you get these notifications up in the right-hand corner. And you'll see a 1 or a 5 or a 9 plus in there. And you click on it and say you're following me or Derek or Joey or Eric Bossy or whatever it is. You get a link of where they posted, and it goes right to that post, and you can see what they posted. So you don't have to wade through the Hoops recruiting thread if you don't want to. Like, some people like doing it because you can see anything anyone wants to post. Maybe it's a recruiting update from somebody else or whatever it is. But if you just want to read Derek, you can follow Derek and you can see all his posts right there notified to you the moment they do it. Sometimes I'll be on the board and I'll see Derek Piper posted. I get a notification. I click on it and I see what he wrote. And for me, it's interesting, right? So if you want to do that, you can do that. And of course, Derek always posts his updates as well, pinned to the board most of the time as well. So you get all the information there. And if you're not a VIP member, you can check us out. $1 for your first month. Now is certainly an interesting time to do so with everything going on with basketball, but football recruiting is really heating up. Joey Wagner and I are covering the heck out of spring football, and Joey's been an unbelievable addition to us there, covering every angle of the Illini football team. It's allowed me to focus a little bit more on recruiting and big picture stuff, which has been awesome. All right. Thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. If you don't already, give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to us, rate us, review us. We appreciate when you guys do that. It always helps us out. And check out IlliniInquirer.com for the latest on your favorite team, the Illinois Fighting Illini. Everybody take care of each other. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.